Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Connor Newt here with you on this Wednesday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We will have Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us later in the program. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans, his minicamp observations with PK a little bit later in the show. Rumor has it we might have a PK rant as well. So we'll see exactly what that entails a little bit later in the program.
Which we do not necessarily – the views expressed by Paul Kuharski do not necessarily reflect the views of the Robbie and Rex Road program.
I guess we'll have to see. But you're right. Not necessarily do they reflect. So we'll see what happens on that front.
Can't wait.
Brian Callahan talked about a lot of things yesterday before the actual practice portion of the minicamp began. We've talked about some comments he had on Jeffrey Simmons and on Cam Ward. I also thought he had some really interesting stuff on Tajay Spears yesterday as well. Here's what Brian Callahan asked about Tajay Spears, and he went into some detail with him that I don't think I've heard him talk about yet. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say on the Tajay Spears front.
With Tajay Spears last year, difficult year, and he talked about that with us where maybe his confidence was shaken a bit. Have you had conversation with him coming into this season, and what would you like to see out of him in terms of growth?
I'm glad you asked that question. One of the things about Tajay is I heard a lot about Tajay when I got here, about the type of person and the player that he was. And we've had conversations, but he did have a challenging year, both personally and professionally. And there was some things that we've had to sit and visit about on different occasions. And I give a lot of credit to him because he's had an unbelievable offseason in terms of his energy, his effort, his clarity in what he wants to get done. So I've been really pleased with where Tajay's at. He's a great example, and it's not something that maybe is easy for you guys to see, but his personal growth, I think, has been outstanding. And I'm really excited to see what he can bring to us this year because he's been in a great place and he's had a really nice offseason.
So that was Brian Callahan yesterday on Tajay Spears. I thought that was interesting. What did you make of what Callahan had to say on what was a challenging year for Spears last year and apparently incredible personal growth that he's noticed from him this offseason?
See, that comment to me was interesting. And I think it's more than just, yeah, this guy had a great offseason. Oh, looking good, feeling good, optimistic. Yes, like Brian Callahan, he trends toward being an optimist,
yes,
for the most part. But talking about, first of all, you know, go back to Jeffrey Simmons, you know, personal decision. Okay, so you decided not to show up. But when Brian Callahan talks about a tough year professionally and personally for Tajay Spears, I don't know what that means, but I mean, I don't think that that's just like he was upset that he didn't, like, play as well, right? There's probably something that happened in his life. But also, I think just the fact that he acknowledged and talked about last year was tough and how he has responded. I'm a little bit more interested in Tajay Spears this year than I would have been before hearing that quote. Maybe that's an overreaction. Maybe that's a classic thing to say on June 11th. But I thought that was that raised my eyebrow a little bit on Tajay Spears. Because, look, I was disappointed in him last year. I think everybody was like,
yeah.
We talked so much about, who is the starter? Who's the best back? Is it a even split? And it wasn't close eventually. And that's credit to Tony Pollard. And I'm not saying that it's going to flip-flop or even get close to even or whatever, but I do feel like Tajay Spears underperformed general expectations last year. Don't know why. If he really had this, you know, this great offseason, I know everybody had a great offseason, but when he talks about that with the whole picture of last year into this year, I'm interested.
Well, when you put that together with Brian Callahan's comments on really trying to maybe even up the carries a little bit more this year and have more of a balance as to how you're using Pollard, like, I don't think you can do that if you're Callahan unless you're pretty confident in what you've got in the running back room, right? I mean, it's great to have a philosophy of trying to use the backs more evenly. But if you have no confidence in your running backs beyond Tony Pollard, how do you do that? Like, it's great to say it, but if you can't put it into practice, in actuality, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good. So, I mean, we'll see. Spears, you know, part of the story last year with him was injury, right? I mean, he only played in 12 games. But I would say when he was out there, I mean, look, you're talking about a yards per attempt that dipped from 4.5 his rookie year to 3.7 last year. So that's a pretty significant drop there. Is some of that the offensive line? Probably. But that's a pretty significant drop there. Is some of that as simple as, and you know, PK's brought up this point? I think it's a good point. How much does the running game improve if there's any sort of semblance of a threat with the passing game at Cam Ward, right? I mean, look, it didn't take long last year where teams were like, yeah, please throw the ball. Like, please throw the ball against us if you're the Titans. So does that change at any point this year? And if so, how does that help not only Pollard, but can Spears be a factor there? But another point you brought up that I think we're still waiting to see on Spears, like, I need to see him be a threat in the passing game as well, and he's not really done that to this point.
Yeah.
Consistently enough.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically relegated to, like, third down back, but really it was his backup running back by you know, well into the, you know, once they got decently into the season last year. And I think there's more there, but after last year, I was open to the idea of, you know, is there a different partner for Tony Pollard that, you know, needs to happen, you know? And obviously they went and got Mullings. I mean, I like that pick, especially where they got him, but I don't think it's going to be.
I don't think so either.
A takeover. I think, you know, I think it'd be great for the Titans if Spears steps up his game and is just more of a threat. I definitely think that his rookie year, we saw some things that, like, his rookie year, I wasn't sitting there. I don't think we were sitting there saying, man, why'd they pick him? Like, you saw something.
Sure.
And again, the context is in a terrible offense, with a terrible offensive line, with, you know, a star running back who just bashed his head into a brick wall all day, and then he goes to another place and darn near gets 2,000 yards.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a disappointing year even beyond the injury from Spears last year. Now, can you find a way to get him in some open space? I mean, that's probably the most disappointing last year. Part of his lack of production last year to me is, like, and some of this I have to put on the coaching too. Like, can you get him in open? Because I talk about him not being as much of a threat in the passing game as they need him to be. I mean, his rookie year, he caught 52 balls. Like, he had 52 catches, 385 yards, and a touchdown. And then, of course, injury plays a factor into that, but he, you know, goes down to 30 last year. So it just wasn't much of a factor in the passing game. And I'm looking around the rest of their offense right now, and look, I have no idea what Gunnar Helm is going to be as a tight end in year one as a rookie. Io Manor, maybe he steps in and is great, but we've talked about this. Right now, on paper, there's a pretty significant lack of options, certainly proven options, when it comes to the passing game. And having your running back alleviate some of that would be very helpful.
Yeah, and that's it. Yeah, he has the skill set to do that. But what you also need, you know, you need to be as unpredictable as possible.
Yes.
So you need to be as effective as possible handing the ball to him too. So now, you know, now you're not telling the defense what you're doing when either of them is on the field. And I definitely think that was missing last year, among many things.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to hear on the Callahan front when he's talking about with Spears yesterday. I am very much with Spears. Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it with him. Like, that's with him heading into year three. It hasn't been enough to this point, and I'll believe it when I see it. And look, maybe he shows it earlier this year, but they need him to be a factor. Like, Tony Pollard was probably their best offensive player a year ago.
Yeah.
No disrespect to NWI, who was catching touchdowns all over the place. But probably their best offensive player a year ago. But, like, we've seen it with Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard is a guy that I do think as the season went on, it kind of wore on him a little bit, and it would be great to have a compliment that you feel good about. And right now, I just don't know that I'm at the place right now where I feel good about Spears and Mullings. We'll have to wait and see what they can do.
Yeah, definitely see it to believe it after last year. I reconsidered a little bit from that comment. Again, without knowing exactly what Callahan's talking about. He's talking about something.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, he even started the thing. Oh, I'm glad you asked that question, and then went into his answer. So there's clearly something there. We'll just see what that translates to on the field. And then the other part is, you know, can he stay healthy? At that position, that's always a key part of this conversation. And he was able to in his first year, was not able to last year. So we'll see if he can stay healthy.
Does lacking an ACL...
does that matter at some point?
Yeah, probably. Some point, probably.
It's a good question. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Titans. Plus, Rex Road is in total celebration today. We'll tell you what we mean and what's got him all excited. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Norfolk. Pregame beginning at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Joe, before we get to what's made you very, very happy in the world of sports, I have another thing that will make you very, very happy in the world of sports. David Fiorona is putting this out there yesterday, who is the Miami Dolphins beat reporter for the Sun Sentinel. Says, good mini camp practice for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Caught multiple touchdowns in red zone. Alexander Mattison also made plays. Hadn't seen much from either of them during the two OTA sessions open in the media, but they stood out Tuesday. NWI is starting to make a name for himself down there in Miami. Tell your thoughts.
My thoughts are business as usual. Put some respect on his name.
What did he end up with last year? Did he have 10?
10, right?
Yeah.
10. He had like 12 catches and 10 of them were touchdowns. No, it wasn't. It was an incredible rate. Incredible touchdown rate.
Yeah, okay. So he had 9. He had 9 touchdowns on 32 catches. It's pretty unbelievable.
By my math, that's about a touchdown every 3.5 catches.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good rate.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So it'll be another guy in the league, just like the Preds and Titans fans. Just sit and watch other teams and shed a tear for whichever player is now doing really well in another team.
Tua stays healthy this year. He might end up with 15 touchdowns down there.
I mean, Tyreek Hill, step aside, buddy. NWI is here. Jalen Ramsey, I'd stay out of practice. Yep. NWI is going to cook you.
You want to up at trade value, you just stay away from NWI.
Exactly.
You won't look good in practice.
Do not make him cover NWI or that trade value plummets.
So something in the world of sports, Joe, has made you very, very excited as we sit here today on June the 11th. What is that, and why are you so excited?
Well, it's official, and congrats. Congrats to Garth Glissman of the SEC, Associate Commissioner for Men's Hoops, because he is the guy who wrote the rule that, really, if you go back 10 years and watch the NBA, you know, we've got all the NBA takes here. You know, people don't like my NBA take that it doesn't totally suck and that these teams wouldn't get crushed by the 1983 76ers. Yeah, well, the NBA about 10 years ago had what college basketball has had, which is just constant review after review after review. And if you love college basketball and you've gotten sick of games that go 2 hours and 45 minutes, they just did a very good thing to help it. They're going to a version of the NBA challenge rule in college basketball, which is, again, to me, long overdue, much needed, and I think we're going to see it's going to get a lot better. I mean, it's just a challenge. These are the challenges you can do. Out-of-bounds calls, basket interference, goaltending, and then the secondary defender in the restricted arc. So it's not like the NBA where, because honestly to me with some of the challenges, it's like, so you just challenge like an out-of-bounds play, but then you saw that he fouled him, and so you're doing the foul now from the challenge? I find some of the NBA, because that's what they do. They challenge a different play and hope that they'll see the other thing on the play. I don't really like that. This is a lot more restrictive than that, but the bottom line is we're not going to have the constant nitpicking on every little ball. I mean, it was it the Michigan-Wisconsin game in the Big Ten tournament last year? Like, they seriously had every possession, there was an out-of-bounds, like three or four straight, and it's like, guys, we can't do it. No more. If you have a challenge, you can challenge it. If you win your first challenge, you get a second challenge. That's it. And other than that, human error. We have to let human error. We want replay to be able to fix some things for sure, but we have to let human error still be a part of sports. It just like, you know, I guess we're coming up on robot umpires and all that stuff. But in college basketball, it's gotten way out of hand, and this is going to get a lot better. At some point, the men's game also needs to go to quarters. Which,
do we think that's going to happen?
Yeah, but an issue with that is the ad sales for the NCAA tournament. And just how – so that's really like the sticking point, but I do believe it will. And, of course, if you go to quarters, then you can't – like right now, if you have a bunch of fouls early in a half of a men's college basketball game, then you get to the bonus with like 14 minutes left and you're just in the bonus the whole game from there, right?
Yep.
And so now with quarters, you start over in the fourth quarter. So even if you have a rash of fouls early in a second half, boom, you start over just like every other basketball league in the world. Every – women's basketball, NBA, everything else in the world goes on quarters other than men's college basketball. So that will get fixed at some point, I believe. But this is a huge step forward for the game.
I want to congratulate you for the first time in the history of the show working in a college basketball segment on June the 11th. I think it's for sure the first time you've done that. Way
to
go.
Thank you. I mean,
I'm proud of you.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Really, I probably should look to do it more often around this time of year, right?
That's what people want to hear about in June.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
college basketball.
It's kind of like the grab bag kind of year. I mean, I've got some ideas for the next couple months, ranking my favorite Led Zeppelin songs.
Oh, good.
And
I look forward to it.
The Mount Rushmore of the people I saw making out at the Counting Crows concert last night. Boy, we saw some interesting stuff last night.
Interesting visual out there.
People falling in love, like, instantly in front of us and then groping each other.
Accidentally in love?
Ooh.
See what I did there?
Look at you. Look at you, Shrek viewer.
Connor,
well done.
Shrek viewer.
Goodness. Joe, you told me yesterday that you wanted to spend exactly 1 minute on Jermaine Pratt and whether or not the Titans should sign him. So starting now, that minute begins. Go ahead. What do you make of Jermaine Pratt?
Well, you need to provide about 56 seconds of the minute. Sure. There's my... whatever.
Doesn't look like it's going to happen, by the way.
Yeah,
So Jermaine Pratt gets released by the Bengals. I believe he was there for six seasons. Bengals are in quite an interesting mess right now between this and the Shamar Stewart stuff, where Shamar Stewart still has not signed a contract, their first-round pick. And
like,
is basically
like it's the 80s or something.
Yeah, he's basically like, they know. They know what's wrong. Don't worry about me. I'll sign at some point. We'll get the deal worked out, but it's their fault. And it's like, okay. Cool. Well, you're a guy that had 4.5 sacks in 3 years in college. You're insane to me. You got drafted in the first round anyway, but here we are. But PK putting it out there that he doesn't think Jermaine Pratt to the Titans is going to be a thing. So there you go.
There's our minute.
There's your minute.
There's our Jermaine Pratt minute.
I asked you how much time you wanted to spend on it yesterday because Callahan was asked about it, and you said a minute. And that minute officially wraps up right now. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. A couple more of your thoughts to get to on the text line. Plus, a philosophical question in the NFL that I have that after yesterday, I'm starting to wonder if we're going to see a trend. We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Staley's Chicago Italian Dining. One of Nashville's best-kept secrets and winners of numerous Best Of awards. Enjoy authentic Italian beef sandwiches, Vienna Chicago dogs, and the best gyro south of Chicago. Get half off a $20 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Connor Newt. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com is with us now on the program as well as we take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. PK, good morning. How are you doing?
How are we doing?
Doing awesome. How are you doing? How was day one of minicamp?
I'm happy to be here. It was a thrill a minute. Thrill a minute.
It's good to know.
Yeah. I'm considering changing this rant because it's inside baseball. And I'm just going to get bashed for it. So...
we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we will. Joe going to be attending?
You know, Joe has this nice habit now of waiting until, like, I don't know, 45 seconds before we're back from break.
Now he's just walking into the room to get a coffee.
He wants to just go get all the coffee. So I guess the work day is over for X-Road.
Very unprofessional, Joe. Come on in. The show's going on. I mean, I was talking to him in the hallway about Counting Crows, who's one of the worst live bands I've ever seen. He says they shaped up last night at Pinnacle.
Well,
Counting Crows, terrible live. Black Crows, terrible live until the brothers got it together. Recently, they've been much better. Sheryl Crow, good live.
Okay, it's good. A complete breakdown of the Crows out there. It's good to know. Rex Road,
Looks to be putting some cream in his coffee.
Cream in the coffee. I mean, I think
this is outrageous. This should be going his file.
He's going to end up being, I don't know, what, 3 minutes late to this segment?
Demerit.
3 or 4 minutes late.
Ladies and gentlemen, now entering 3 minutes into the segment, Joe Rexroad. Hey, thanks for coming.
Hey, good to have you here on the Robbie and Rexroad program.
What's that about? I have a big question for you, and I was planning on asking it at the beginning of the segment, but apparently you don't attend the beginning of segments.
What do you want to know, Paul?
What was that about?
What was what about?
You're not attending the radio show.
Yeah, I went to get my coffee. I obviously way too far into the break.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I'm out of coffee.
You were going to the bathroom when I came in.
Yeah, I also went to the bathroom.
A lot of things just happened with 45 seconds left in the break.
What did I miss? Have you broken down Cam Ward's big day and I missed it?
Why? This was fascinating to me in your forced college basketball minute. That you think men's basketball, which has a unique thing, having two halves, needs to go to quarters, and your rationale is because the fouls need to be reset, instead of saying, hey, guys, don't foul. Reduce your fouling so that you're not in putting people in the bonus 8 minutes into the second half. So what you should do is adjust to the game as it's been for history or my lifetime. What you should do is pace your fouling so that the bonus doesn't happen until 4 or 5 minutes left in the game. But your solution is, hey, we need to change the contours of the game to allow these guys to foul at the rate that they're fouling.
Yeah, you should probably stick to football there, pal. Like, what? I mean, you can't control refs. Refs sometimes call games extremely tight. Every other level of basketball is quarters. Why is this halves? Just go to quarters.
Well, women recently changed to quarters to be different.
Like 15. Again, then they became, they were one of two in all of basketball in the entire globe that doesn't have quarters.
What you should
do. So now they're not. Now there's one.
When you're different, embrace the difference.
No, because see, having halves means that we have to sit there and even if you don't have a rash of fouls, you're going to have a half of a half with everyone in the bonus, almost for sure, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Am I wrong here? Could they not?
No,
your
analysis is terrible.
I mean, you could foul less. There is the,
you could. I mean, you could make every shot, and then you won't lose a basketball game. Why are you missing baskets? Why are you missing the baskets?
Man, if Tennessee gets Ziegler back, they'll be in good shape. They won't be in the bonus.
Would you, Robbie, if you were the czar of men's college basketball, would you switch to quarters?
I've never really thought about it.
I'd be disappointed.
The half doesn't really bother me.
I mean, this is the only reason to do it. This
is why. That would be why. I mean, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see what do you lose if you do that?
Nothing.
I just like it as it is.
Now, are we still going, you going to 4 10-minute quarters at that point?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't want to change the game time. It changes up all the records.
No, it's just like the women's game has gone to that. It's better. It's just better because now with 10 minutes to go, you can foul. You can have a hand check on someone, and okay, here, take the ball out of bounds. As opposed to, well, we know everybody's shooting free throws by now for the rest of the game.
By the way, shout out to our listeners on the text line.
Show some discipline.
Taylor says, according to Rex Road pulling his Jeffrey Simmons, says it was a voluntary segment, and he wasn't there for personal reasons last time out. Wes says Joe had personal things going on, so he could not attend the beginning of the segment.
That's right. It was a personal decision to fill my coffee and urinate. Although I did make also
not at the same time.
No.
Let's let the record show. Those things happened at different times.
That was not my sweetener. And also it was a personal decision to sit there staring at my screen for the first 2.5 minutes of the commercial and then be like, oh, I guess I'll go get a coffee. Yeah.
Joel on the text line wondering if PK went to the U.S. versus Switzerland game last
night.
I did
not. And I did not go because I knew I would be disgusted. by what was going to unfold there. It's a C team. We barely have an A team. We put a C team on the field because these guys are, some of them understandably, resting, some of them nursing injuries, but they're not committed to what's going on right now. We're not very good at the A level right now. They were trying so hard to sell tickets. As somebody that's bought tickets before, I got an offer for $100 off a pair about 10 days ago. Yesterday I tweeted out their offer that was for $23 end zone tickets for students or imaginary students. So it didn't matter whether you had a student or not. They were basically selling $23 end zone tickets. U.S. Soccer has a massive problem right now, and it potentially is going to be a disaster going into the World Cup that we're hosting. The timing and preparedness is just atrocious.
That's really disappointing.
Really disappointing.
Well, Joel says it's amazing our national team played here last night, and it's hardly discussed locally.
I hope it doesn't hurt Nashville's standing as a venue, and that they understand that it's about the crap product that they put on the field and not about Nashville's interest in the national team.
Well, I mean, I would say we talk about on this show what people want to talk about. This is the first time this has been brought up on the show. So,
yeah,
take for that what you will.
Well, look, there's a guy out there named Mark McKenzie. I mean, Mark McKenzie should be nowhere near the national team based on what he did last night.
Question for you two. Do we feel like Travis Hunter is about to be a trendsetter in the sport of football? I bring this up because, as we know, he's expected to play on the offensive and defensive sides of the football for Jacksonville this year, even though they're spending a lot of time on the offensive side down there, much to Rex Rhodes' chagrin. Yesterday, the Green Bay Packers were practicing. They have recently cut Jair Alexander. And Bo Melton, who has basically been their sixth wide receiver the last couple of years and a special teams player, is now practicing at cornerback, having not played cornerback in the NFL or really much in college back at Rutgers. So we've got a potential both sides of the ball candidate in Bo Melton. And Joe, as you're aware, the rumor is that Boo Carter at Tennessee could be playing defensive back and also having some snaps at the wide receiver position as well. Are we about to see more of this? Are we about to see, maybe more importantly of a question, this embraced more by coaches at the collegiate and National Football League levels?
A collegiate, we've had a decent amount of some level of this, right? Like what Boo Carter's doing.
Some of it, yeah.
Some of it. So I think maybe you could see more of it there. I don't know, but I don't think at all in the NFL. I hate to expect this. I hope I'm wrong, but Travis Hunter, the first time he gets hurt, I guarantee you the Jags and their crack staff are going to talk about, when you have a guy play this many snaps, that's look at how much more likely it is for him to be injured, you know? I just ultimately think that Travis Hunter is going to be forced to one side of the ball. But he's going to be too good at corner for them to not play him at every snap as a corner. I mean, we've already seen – if you've seen any of the clips of Travis Hunter, and I understand the time of year it is and all that stuff, it's absurd, some of the stuff he's already doing at cornerback. They're going to not be able to play defense without him at corner, and then what they're going to do is they're going to be like, man, we got to cut back on the other side of the ball. That's what I think will happen, but we'll see.
None of these people are going to be anywhere near as good as Travis Hunter to prompt an NFL team to break their – meeting system and they're all of that to allow for it, to accommodate it.
I would say that you're right. I don't know that I've seen, like, the Melton thing yesterday. I was like, I don't know that I've seen another team do that. You know, outside, you know, obviously the Travis Hunter stuff. I don't know that I've seen another team in the NFL take like a fifth or sixth wide receiver and be like, hey, go play cornerback now at the NFL level. It made me think.
Yeah.
Is this more of a thing now?
Well, remember, we were talking about Caleb Farley. Like, could Caleb Farley maybe play a little receiver or, you know, something, or just not play at all? Yeah, no, it's interesting. That's an interesting I'm trying to think. Is it possible that it's easier? I definitely think it's easier for receivers now coming from college to the NFL to impact. It used to be like a rookie receiver in the NFL, like you could throw that season away almost to learn the vast differences between the two levels. And so maybe it's because there's a little bit more transfer and quickness in picking things up. You can tinker with stuff like that. Maybe there's something to that.
Maybe so. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Paul Kuharski is with us for the rest of the program. We'll take your thoughts for PK on the Titans. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We have a rant from Kuharski coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We have a Paul Kuharski rant here on the program. PK, without any further ado, I turn things over to you.
And it's fine for your mic to be hot now. This is when we want you to talk and be public.
I don't know what Ian's doing back there, but the orange button
That's
was
Connor.
On. Connor, sorry.
Ian!
It's okay.
Stop
we
it.
Look alike.
It shows you how much I look through.
From agreeable Ian to Connor's a goner.
I apologize.
Oh, good.
Well, I called Ian to let me in the building because I didn't have my key. So
you called Ian
home?
On vacation?
Yeah.
You
I didn't realize that. So Ian called Connor, but Ian just went right with it. He didn't say
like,
hey,
sure,
I'm
man,
not there.
I got you.
So Ian called Connor. Ian getting it done this morning, and Connor as well. So thank you both. Where's Ian? On a beach?
Yeah.
Somewhere in Eastern time, as I'm told.
Yeah.
I don't know where.
He's on a beach.
Well, good. At least I didn't. There's less chance that
I woke
him up.
It's better than him being on mountain time.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right. So, there's a lawsuit filed against Jeffrey Simmons a while ago pertaining to child support issues.
Yes.
It did not paint him in a favorable light. This is generally not something that would be our business, but it's a lawsuit that goes public and gets reported by Terry McCormick. So then it's public. So once it's public, you have an obligation, if you're reporting it, to try to get both sides of it. There was no Jeffrey Simmons side of it in the report. So the first time Jeffrey Simmons is available to be asked about this is yesterday. Now, I talked to Terry about this a couple times in the press room because we thought Simmons might have been available, during the first open OTA before we knew he wasn't around and all of that. And I said to Terry, you're going to ask him about this, right? Like, it's your story. He said, I'll ask him about it. I don't care. Because I feel like the L'Jarius Sneed thing I've been covering, which is a much more complicated and much more serious case with a felony pending. But I'll absolutely follow through on that to the degree that I've been following it, and it's a complicated case, and I've been talking to DAs and police and all of that. So we get out there. Jeff talks for like 12 minutes. It's winding down. I'm looking for McCormick, and he's nowhere to be found. He's 3 feet behind the scrum doing this thing that we all probably have this look once in a while where he's like already withdrawn from the Simmons thing. And he's got this look on his face where he's like looking around, like who he's going to talk to next. And I'm like, what the hell? What the hell? So I'm left to ask Simmons. Now we know the odds are that Simmons is not going to comment.
Correct.
But the obligation is if you've reported a story, that's this woman's side of the story, you need to give Jeff a chance to tell his side of the story. Now, I know a bunch of people are out there saying, well, Simmons isn't going to say anything. Well, that's fine if Simmons isn't going to say anything. We have to give him the opportunity
that's
to say
his
something
yes.
and get on the record that he's not going to say anything. So I ask him, and he says, I'm not going to talk about that. And then, of course, he says, I knew you'd be the guy to ask that, right? So I'm the jerk, right? I have
For
to,
the first time I ever.
I have to be the jerk, and Terry can't take the bullet. For his own story, which he got plenty of clicks on when he put out the case, right? And I'll be the jerk with L'Jarius Sneed because I was the guy there. And so I say to a couple other guys, Easton Freeze and TJ Runke when we're walking in, what jerks.
JT Runke, I think, but sure.
JT.
Keep going.
Did
You're
I say
fine.
TJ?
You said TJ.
I apologize. JT's a great guy.
He's worked up.
He produces my podcast. I love him.
I love you, TJ.
Yeah. I have dyslexia. I don't, but it would be great if I did.
Paul, the dyslexic jerk.
So we're walking into the building, and I say, you guys, just all of you are so damn soft. Like, you'll talk on your shows all about this case, all about the Snead case, and none of you will have done any work on any of it or asked a difficult question on any of it. And they go, yeah. I said, like, so Simmons will be mad at me again over this. Snead will be mad at me over that when I do it, and you won't have asked anything about it. You'll just hang me out to dry and let me ask it. They said, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I
respect the honesty.
Yeah, I do too. That's good stuff.
They said, well, you know, we didn't ask it yet. So, like, well, you might not have asked it there. You know, we would if you didn't ask it there, maybe we would have asked it down. When?
It's a good question. It's a very good question.
So it's complete BS, and it's just a testament. And now people will say, well, they're just out there covering football. If you do a professional job covering the Titans, you cover the whole entity. Right?
Yep.
Now, I know some guys, the X's and O's guys, mostly aren't out there, the guys that do that. If you cover the team, the steel tariffs are relevant to covering the team because they're relevant to the stadium building.
Right.
The lawsuits are relevant. All kinds of peripheral stuff that doesn't pertain to a player or does pertain to a player is relevant, especially when it becomes public. So I think it's soft and it's BS, and I wanted to call Terry out on it. I called him out to it yesterday. I call him out to it now. And these other guys, too, who are just like, yeah, you ask them. And we'll
How dare
we'll talk
you
about
call
it.
Out Terry McCormick? I am going to bash you. No. No, I think that Terry should have been the one to ask that question. I mean, ultimately, the obligation is that someone does, and, you know, good for you for asking it. I mean, it would be a huge fail by the media at large if no one asked it. And yeah, the response is predictable, but like it's an obligation.
Yeah.
And Terry should have been the one because he wrote the story. I agree. So I guess we're all bashing Terry. Are we bashing Terry?
I think,
I love you, Terry.
I do think though sometimes that happens in terms of like people know that PK is not afraid to ask some of these questions. So it's like, well, PK will get around to it at some point.
And we'll let Jeff be further pissed at PK, even though PK didn't write the story.
And not just with the Jeff thing. Like, I think that happens a lot. Like, I think that happened a lot with Vrabel, too. Of like, well, I don't really want to get chewed out by Vrabel, so let's just let PK do it here in a minute.
You know what else happened? You know, when PK would expect me to ask a question, he'd be like, well, you're going to ask the question or not? And then I asked a question, Vrabel's like, why are you two talking to each other? Burr, burr.
You know, there are a couple times you said you'd ask something and you didn't in a similar fashion, not on this scale.
What?
I don't remember, but we had a deal. We had a deal once or twice, and you do the same thing. You wait until the very, very end.
So?
Did I ask
the question?
I did not ask the question. That's
you
why Vrabel got on us.
What are you
because
doing
I looked over my shoulder, and I said, when are you going to ask the question? And Vrabel said, what are you two talking about back there?
No, he got mad because I asked the question, whatever the hell it was. I asked the question, and then he's like, no, you two talking. Blah, blah.
Hey, did you see Vrabel? Like,
you're misremembering.
No.
Oh, Teresa. Teresa's going
to
have
did you see Vrabel show up to his press conference yesterday?
She's going to be a peacock today.
Hey, what's going on, Teresa? He's like, oh, wait. Sorry.
Oh, really? Oh, that's awesome.
I talked to him about it. He said too many hits to the head.
Yeah, maybe so.
But she's going to be strutting around today.
Hey.
Proud.
Rabel was
fired
up. You want to
rip her, too? Anybody else want to rip? PK, I rip you. No, I do think that there's a little bit of taking advantage of PK in the press corps. Be like, yeah, I'll ask a question. Everybody, you know. I think you sort of get off on that stuff, so you like to
get off on it yesterday.
You like to be performative at press conferences, but you know, I think that if you're covering a team, you're right. Like you should, it should be a contribution thing on most beats. I feel like there's usually like two, three, four people who are like it should rotate around a little bit.
And I would also say this: like if you're covering a team on a daily basis. Like PK does with the Titans, like I do with the Predators, like it should not always be like it. You should not go without some sort of confrontation. I'm not saying that you're seeking it out, but like to me, if you're covering the team on a daily basis and you're never the one to ask difficult questions, that's a problem.
Big problem.
Like, that's a problem.
Big problem. I mean, look, when I was a beat writer for a long time, I honestly would start to really get uneasy and full of anxiety if no one was pissed at me for like a month straight. Like, I mean, like, and again, it's not like
you went lots of months like that. That's why you were getting anxious.
Exactly. No, I mean, that's, you know, it's not like you said, Robbie, like you're going out of your way to try to create it. But, like, yeah, naturally the job is going to bring that. Robert says, why are the child support payments relevant? Let's keep it to football. Probably rely on Jeff and other players that want to be here. I don't see anybody in New England getting asked about their child support payments.
Hold on.
Yeah, exactly. Vrabel's getting asked about Stephon Diggs and whatever the hell he's doing on a boat. Robert, the reason is because a lawsuit happened. So it became news. Terry McCormick, to his credit, reported that news. It's no one's out there just, hey, do you want to owe any child support payments?
Right.
Did you speed last night when you were driving? I mean, again, this is news happened.
Might be a fair question at Georgia, but yeah.
That's a good point. Hey.
Kirby, let's just go through it. Anybody get a speeding citation last night?
Who got speeding tickets last night, Kirby? No, I mean, something happened. It wasn't just a random question about child support payments, Robert.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We got a lot of things on the Titans to get into with PK over the next hour. We'll take your questions for him as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Let's